Welcome to the Park Wars Podcast, celebrating and exploring all things Star Wars in the Disney theme parks across the galaxy.
R2, lightspeed to Endor!
We're two of the most interesting and creative entertainment companies in the world. And so when we get together, we have a lot of fun.
Hey!
May the Force be with you.
It's just a fantastic combination of using technology and telling great stories.
I'm afraid we've all just joined the Rebel Alliance.
Welcome, everybody, to the Park Wars Podcast.
Exploring Star Wars attractions and adventures in the Disney theme parks across the galaxy.
All right. Just some quick introductions. Before we explain why this week is so different, my name is Steve Barth.
And I'm Tanner.
And we are coming to you live, as promised, from the Oregon coast. It is spring break. This is the show for the week beginning March 20th, 2016. And instead of being in our nice cozy Park Wars podcast studios, we are out on the beach enjoying some spring break family time. So we're going to do some things a little bit differently. First of all, since we are out here on the Oregon coast, nice, beautiful, a little bit breezy day, but that's okay. We are out of internet range. We have no internet out here. We have no cell service either. So here's the deal. Some huge breaking story as far as Star Wars Land or Star Wars or the Disney theme parks could be happening, could have broken yesterday. We wouldn't know anything about it because we're out here on the coast. So if you're screaming at your MP3 player or your podcast player or whatever you're listening to us on going, what about this huge thing that happened? Why are they not talking about it? It's because we don't know. So if there was some big announcement or some big news break or some artwork or some anything, we will talk about that on next week's show, so make sure you stay tuned in. And instead, we're going to be answering some listener feedback questions that we've gotten over the last few weeks. Mostly this last week, since we just asked for that feedback a week ago in last week's show. So we have just a couple questions, which means this show could either be really long, depending on how long-winded I get, or really short if we decide to answer the questions in a really short fashion. So we will be back in the studios next week with more of our regular format, but let's see how this goes. All right, let's fire up the iPad. It keeps going to sleep on me. Alrighty. So Tanner, since this first question is addressed towards you, I guess I will read it. All right, so this is from Drew in Albuquerque. Thank you, Drew, for the email. This is Tanner. In an earlier show, you were upset at the direction you thought Star Wars Rebels was going, based on the trailer for the second half of the season. Have you had a chance to watch the episodes now, and is it better than you expected?
Yes, I've seen the episodes, and it's about as good as I expected.
Define that more.
I wish that they had done it differently.
Okay, let's talk about that. What do you wish they had done differently? Now, just to make sure we're on the same page with everybody that's listening to the show, how far have we actually watched into the season?
I don't know.
We're about two episodes behind what the rest of the world has.
Okay.
So, from what we understand, there was this. The last week's episode was Droids in Distress. We have not watched that yet. The week before that's episode was something with Yoda and the Kanan and Ezra visiting a Jedi temple on Lothal. I just got that from episode description. We haven't seen that one yet either, but all the ones before that we've now caught up to. So, Tanner, further explain yourself.
Oh, I wish that it was more like I think Rogue One is going to be.
Meaning?
No Jedi, and really kind of a darker and harder time period to be living in.
But we know there are at least Jedi abilities because Kanan and Ezra have Jedi abilities.
Yeah, but they shouldn't.
Now you're banking that one off of just the idea that Luke's the only hope in the galaxy?
Yeah, because that's what they said. That's how it's supposed to be.
Well, it could be by that point in time. We're still, several years before that time? You're shaking your head at me.
Yeah. I don't think there should be Jedi in it.
But.
But there is.
But there is. So we deal with what we got.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, all right. So okay, let's talk about a couple things. If I can talk, stupid wind. All right. Space whales. What is your opinion on space whales?
That was a dumb episode.
You're kind of rolling your eyes at me through that one.
Yeah, because nothing happened.
They landed on a platform.
Yeah, and then it was just...
the whales circled the platform?
I don't know what the point of that one was. That was a weird episode.
Okay. We've got... the last one we watched with Hera getting on the ship and her dad appearing like he's betraying them.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
What do you mean appearing like he was betraying them? He did.
Well, but it all worked. They're hugging at the end of the episode, so.
Yeah, because they made him change his mind. He wasn't faking it.
So was it really a betrayal?
Yes.
Deep thoughts. Okay, so. Has the season gotten better than you originally thought it was going to be?
No.
How come?
Because it's just... Because I still wish they did it differently.
You just wish they did it without Jedi.
Yeah, because that's what they're kind of most of the story is about, is those two.
Now, a lot of the lead-up that we're seeing is building towards this whole, you know, Ahsoka versus Darth Vader thing. It's supposedly towards the end of the season. What are your thoughts on that?
They're just trying to make Clone Wars people happy.
Even if that means killing off Ahsoka?
Yeah. Because everybody wants Clone Wars back, so they're just trying to bring Clone Wars into Rebels to make those people stop complaining.
Now, we've seen that a lot this season. We've seen a lot more... we've seen Hondo come back. We've seen Ahsoka come back. The episode Homecoming we were just talking about had Hera's dad, who was supposedly, according to Rebels Recon, a fan favorite from the Clone Wars. I don't really see us pining for more adventures with him. But they did bring him back. So, yeah, it does feel a little Clone Wars 2-ish in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But, okay, so jury's still out for you on that one. All right. Let's go to the next question here. All right, I'll let you read this one. Detach headphones. Okay. Tell us who it's from.
It's from William in Kansas City.
All right.
Hey, guys. Love the new show. I love all the things Disney and Lucasfilm, so this show is the perfect blend of my geek loves.
Thank you, William.
This last week, Indiana Jones 5 was announced. How do you see that film changing the presence of Indiana Jones in the theme parks?
All right. So how does Indiana Jones 5 change the presence of Indiana Jones in the theme parks? To be honest, and again, this isn't newsy. This is just our opinions here, so I will give you mine. I really don't see Indiana Jones 5 changing much about the theme parks. The exact same question could have been asked years ago when Indiana Jones 4, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, was coming out. A lot of people were wondering how that might change, say, the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular over at Hollywood Studios. It didn't change it at all, and I think that was probably a good move on Disney's part. I think they really need to see... They need to take a temperature of the movie and figure out how it's best going to do. So, granted, a lot of people thought the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was going to do well, and it turns out a lot of people were disappointed with that film because they didn't feel it held up as well compared to the original three. So had Disney gone in and put a whole bunch of money to revamp the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular with stuff from Crystal Skull, I can't really say that, I think that would have been seen as a mistake. I think it would have lost the popularity that it has, and it could have been just interesting. So Indiana Jones Stunt Show,
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts? Or has it been too long since you've seen it?
It's been too long since I've seen it.
Okay, we got to change that. Yeah, it's all based mostly around Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't see them really tweaking that. And again, as we talked about in last week's show, for those of you wanting changes in the front half of the Hollywood studios, don't expect those anytime soon. All of the money and all the focus is going to the new back half of the park. We've got the Star Wars land coming in. We've got two Pixar lands, you know, Toy Story Land and the unannounced, unnamed third section of that park still that's going in. Everything's going towards that. And so with all of that push and focus going towards the back half of the park, they're not going to be making a lot of changes to the front half of the park. So I anticipate Indiana Jones and the epic stunt spectacular to stay primarily the same way that it has. And I hope that it will, because I really like that show. Now, over on the West Coast in Disneyland, we also have Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. And they've pretty much set that whole story up as its own independent adventure. It's not dependent on the movies. Now, this is kind of how I really kind of envision Star Wars Land to be. It's the Star Wars characters, but their own version of that universe, so it's not dependent on one movie. Because, you know, the Temple of the Forbidden Eye is not anything from any of the Indiana Jones movies. It contains elements from some of those movies once you get into the actual temple itself, but it's really its own unique thing, and I think that same direction is what they're going to try for Star Wars Land. Now, Tanner, thoughts on Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye?
I like that ride a lot.
That's an awesome ride.
I liked when it almost got broken down while we were on it.
Yeah, well, we were just about to step on the ride vehicle when the ride broke and all the lights came on. Everyone had to leave. And we were like, if we could have just been, you know, two cars ahead and actually been stuck inside the temple itself, that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
But we still had to walk out. I mean, the ride, it had been on like a several months long refurb. It was the opening weekend, so they were still working the bugs out. But yeah, wish we could have gotten stuck inside, because I think that'd be really cool. Now, if you've seen videos online of people getting stuck inside the ride, it happens from time to time. It's kind of cool because you know, these big like safety bars raise up on either side of the vehicle so that people don't like actually get down inside, you know, the ride, go to places they shouldn't, and then they escort them out. But I still think that would be cool. Just like I've always wanted to get stuck on Space Mountain.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very exciting. It'd just be white.
Well, it'd be all the stuff around you and the scaffolding of the ride. And
yeah.
I think that would look cool.
Yeah, maybe.
But Indiana Jones, we'd love to get stuck on that one.
Yeah.
Now, I was stuck on Pirates of the Caribbean for about 45 minutes one time.
So was I.
Well, yes, true. You were 10 months old, so you slept the entire time.
Yep.
But And we were stuck right in the middle of the lift hill going out of the ride, so that started craning on the necks after a little while. But eventually they got us back out of there, and we were definitely sick of Pirate's Life for me, so I'm on repeat for that long. But yeah, a lot of fun can be had getting stuck on Disney rides.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, so going back to the original question, do I see the new Indiana Jones movie changing much about the theme parks? Again, my honest opinion is I really don't. Now, keep in mind that this is coming out July 19th, 2019. You will have graduated from high school by that point in time.
Yep.
It's going to take them your entire high school career to make that movie. So my hope is that most of Star Wars Land is open by that point in time, and they can then make some Indiana Jones changes. But changing the attractions that we currently have, I don't see that really happening.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, Tanner?
No, I don't see it.
Yeah. But definitely some fun opportunities to bring that character back. Now, as a pure side note, how is it going to be with Harrison Ford pushing 80 years old and still playing an action person?
I think it's fine.
It's like watching Grandpa fighting people.
Yeah, Grandpa can run.
That's true. So, it should be interesting. And again, this is just my own personal opinion, so please don't send me hate mail. If you have hate mail to send, send it to Tanner at Steve Barthog. Or don't send it to that one. Send it to Tanner at ParkoursPodcast.com as your personal email gets flooded. That'd be fantastic. One of the best things that I think can happen with this movie, and again, as a Star Wars fans are going to be screaming at me for this, but George Lucas, his job in the past Indiana Jones films has always been, you know, a lot of story stuff and coming up with the MacGuffin, which is the main thing that the heroes are chasing. So, you know, we had the Lost Ark, we had the Sankara Stones, we had the
Goblet thingy.
Yes. Why is my brain...
I just keep thinking Goblet of Fire.
It's not the Goblet of Fire. This is what happens when I don't have internet in front of me.
Crusade. The Jesus Cup.
The Jesus Cup. The Cup of Christ. Yeah, people are yelling at us. But... yeah, that thing. You know what we're talking about. Anyway... So, George Lucas comes up with the MacGuffin, and yes, in the last movie, it was aliens, which a lot of people are like, it didn't seem to fit well with the rest of the series. So, George Lucas is now retired. He is not working on Indiana Jones 5. It's being written by other people. To me, this is a good thing. He was not involved in The Force Awakens. I loved how that movie came out. I loved having a new perspective on the story. I loved the writing that J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan did on that movie, and Michael Arndt as well. I really think that it's going to benefit from having some new blood in the writing of the film and the MacGuffin of the film, and I can't wait to see what they come up with. I'm sorry, George Lucas, you had some great ideas earlier, but it's time to have some different perspectives, and that's just... And that's why we have a podcast, so we can share those opinions. Alrighty. So let's move on to another question. Let's see, I think it's my turn to read. This is from Sandy in Reno. She says, great show, glad I found it, thanks to your Disney Infinity shows. What kind of effect do you see this year's Rogue One having on the theme parks and the Seasons of the Force event taking place at the parks? Tanner, you want to tackle that?
I don't think it's going to change really yet. Just the characters from it are going to be probably appearing.
Yeah, no, I think there's going to be a change out. I think
they'll probably add Darth Vader to some parts.
Yeah, so they've had Kylo Ren in some places. I think that he may get swapped out for Darth Vader. But again, here's how I'm looking at this. They've always called Seasons of the Force a specific event. And I think some people... now that it's in the parks, a lot of people might be expecting it to stay around the parks. From what I have heard, and this is not, you know, official news or anything like that, just, you know, listen to last week's podcast. We were talking about this. Seasons of the Force is going to be around until somewhere around the end of May. And then it's going to get swapped out. I think Space Mountain maybe go back to its regular operating mode. The Jakku sequences in Star Tours are going to swap out... or get put into the random rotation instead of being featured on every single ride. Things are going to slowly kind of go back to normal Tomorrowland. I don't know what's going to happen for the movie, The Path of the Jedi, but you know that may or may not stay there. But things are going to kind of evolve off of Star Wars. Take a break for just a little bit of time. Now, we did find out last week that... in early April, the Marvel stuff in the second floor of the old Innovations building is going to be going away, as that's going to be shutting down. The Iron Man Hall of the suits, those are going to be packed up and moved out of there. They are going to temporarily put, you know, Captain America and Spider-Man meet and greet over in Disney's Hollywood Studios. So all that stuff in the second floor is going to come out, and they're going to take that second floor space and turned it into a Star Wars Land preview center, similar to how they had the Blue Sky preview center over in Disney's Hollywood Studios when that was the big construction zone. So this way people can go upstairs, they can take a look at Star Wars Land, they can take a look at the models, the concept art. You know, we'll be covering when that all opens up. But with Seasons of the Force kind of winding down, I do think they're going to reintroduce it in November again as a way to build up for Rogue One. Now, the timing of this, they kind of have to do this because of, you know, Rogue One coming out in December. But if they did it like they did last year, this means that Seasons of the Force this year would be opening up in November. And there's a lot of people in the parks in November and December. So that means there's going to be even more people in the parks as they come to check out the new version of Seasons of the Force. Again, all my opinions. But as far as Rogue One, I think they're going to swap out the new Stormtroopers with the original trilogy Stormtroopers. So they have that look. Hyperspace Mountain is already themed around the original trilogy, so I don't see that changing much. Could they add yet another scene into Star Tours?
They probably will. They're probably going to add more from this movie over time, too.
Yeah, one would hope. There's a lot of things they could do there, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could add something from Rogue One. I mean, they could do pretty much the same thing they did this year, but... just more targeted towards Rogue One.
Yeah.
And have, you know, get Darth Vader back in, original trilogy style Stormtroopers back in, just kind of take it back to that era of Star Wars. And I think that'd be that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Really celebrate, instead of the new stuff, but celebrate more of the original trilogy type of look, which I would not be complaining about. Mm-hmm. I see them swapping out things in... Star Wars Launch Bay. I can see them adding maybe even more stuff to that second floor area. I hope they continue to do things right to satisfy the need for Star Wars content before Star Wars Land opens up here in a few years. Any other thoughts, Tanner, on Rogue One? I mean, granted, it's hard to really talk about it. We haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Where's that trailer, guys? Now, predictions. A lot of people are talking about Rogue One online as far as the fact that we have not seen a trailer yet. When do you think we'll see the first Rogue One trailer?
Before Civil War.
Okay. I personally, a lot of people are not going to like this opinion of mine. I personally don't think we will see anything until July.
Why?
Traditional Hollywood marketing, and I think they're trying to go back to more traditional. Traditional Hollywood marketing means that you don't see a trailer until 5 or 6 months out. Now, all the hardcore...
said we're going to see a trailer soon.
We've heard since December they've had trailers cut.
But not too long ago they said soon we're going to be seeing... In the coming weeks we're going to see one.
And you could be completely correct there. I think they're going to... I think they're going to really let the Force Awakens marketing campaign, including the DVD and Blu-ray release, kind of slowly wind itself down before they immediately start pushing Rogue One on us. Which means I have to wonder the Star Wars celebration happening in London, if that's where we'll first start seeing stuff. I hope we see it as soon as possible, because I can't wait to see what the tone and style of that movie is going to be. But time will tell. All right, Tanner, you want to do the last question?
Sure.
The wind's picking up a little bit out here. We're getting a little chilly.
And this is from Rick N. in Portland.
Ooh, our neck of the woods.
You guys always ask your guests about their favorite parks, rides, and attractions, but what about yours? When you guys go to the parks, what are your favorite things to do?
Okay. Go for it.
I don't know. Splash Mountain at night.
Okay. It seems like each trip that we take, we kind of have a new, a favorite ride that's kind of defines that trip. So, for instance, when we went a few years ago, Cars Land had just opened. Radiator Springs was the new big thing, and we rode that thing over and over and over and over again. That thing was awesome. We'd get out of line and go right back into line.
Don't you get a pin from each time we go about the ride that's kind of from that trip?
Yep. So that was the Cars Land trip. And our big thing that we learned from Cars Land is... Or at least from Radiator Springs Racers, is what?
Single rider line.
There you go. For us as a family, it wasn't that big of a deal to all have to sit together in the same cars. We actually found it was more fun when it lined up right that we were sometimes racing against each other when we were single riders in individual cars. The lines was a lot less. I mean, at that point in time, because it was new, it was several hours to get on Radiator Springs Racers if you wanted to all ride together. We said, eh, we'll take the single rider line and wait 40 minutes
instead. Yeah, I don't care if you're sitting by me or not.
But we did have a few times
when it's so much more fun when you're in someone else's picture.
Oh yeah, you can do weird things in people's pictures.
That's what I like to do.
And then they get out and they're looking at you like, who is this guy in my picture? But so yeah, I always recommend the single rider line. But the big ride for us in this last trip was, as Tanner said, Splash Mountain. And we rode that thing over and over and over again. We discovered that California people, as we talked about last week, a lot of the locals don't like to ride Splash Mountain in December or November, which is when we were there. And that allowed us to ride it on repeat, which we didn't seem to mind about.
I like that ride at night.
Now, what's the big lesson that we learned from Splash Mountain?
Put the weight in the back.
Yes. So the very first time we rode it, we all, myself, Tanner, his older brother, we all got loaded onto the log. We all sat right up front with me. I'm a big guy. Right up front. I had my camera bag shoved in between my legs right in front of us, and all of the weight was on the front of the boat.
Yeah, it was you, and then Tyler, who was really heavy because he was super strong, and then me and no one else.
Yes, that was the whole log right there. And so, just from the very beginning, as you're going up the first little hill, before you even go inside the show building, you're going up and over the hill, and you have a little small waterfall, and at that point in time, the log pretty much dipped underneath the water and just soaked us completely from the waist down. My camera bag was dripping water. I was freaking out. We discovered very quickly that you need to have the weight in the back part of the boat, because then the front half doesn't tip and go under the water.
I had fun.
Well, we had a ball. We were laughing hysterically, but we were wet.
Yeah, that was the most wet of it. I never get wet on the rapids ride.
Oh, I know. Grizzly River Run over in California Adventure, does not matter where he sits, the water completely avoids him.
I've never gotten wet on that ride.
Whereas my wife, doesn't matter where she sits, she gets soaked.
I want to get wet.
The water just avoids you.
I know.
So, yeah. Splash Mountain is definitely a favorite of ours. As far as... I love the classics. I love Pirates of the Caribbean. I love Haunted Mansion. I mean, Haunted Mansion is probably my favorite all-time ride in the parks. That's my happy place right there. And I love the early Disney classics, too. The Tiki Room. Made everybody sit through the Tiki Room. It was like 11:30 at night. How was that experience for you?
I slept.
I was loving it. I was singing along and looking at all the animatronics and the birds, and the rest of the family was like, okay, come on, Dad, why do we have to do this? But it's all good fun. And of course, there's the Tomorrowland classic, Space Mountain. Love Space Mountain. Love Tower of Terror over in California Adventure. That was another favorite of ours from this last trip. Again, just riding that over and over and over again. Just good fun. So, definitely, I mean, we have all of this stuff that we love, and so the thought of adding Star Wars, something else that we love, to this space, I just can't be more excited for this to happen. This is going to be fantastic, and I really hope that the construction goes fast. So, all right, Tanner, anything else you'd like to add?
Nope.
All right. So, again, we are away from all of our normal stuff. We are just sitting out here outside talking, enjoying an awesome view of the Oregon coast. But hey, that's why you're not hearing the normal stuff. So Tanner, off the top of your head, how do people get a hold of us and the show?
They can find us on iTunes or Stitcher, which they probably already done. And on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Park Wars Podcast. and they can choose to email you at steve@parkwarspodcast.com or me at tanner@parkwarspodcast.com.
Yep, send us those pictures so that we can add them to our Instagram feed. Point those cameras over the construction walls. Get us any pictures that you possibly can so we can see what's going on there and share those with the rest of our listening audience. Remember, when you are on iTunes and Stitcher, rate the show, give us some comments, some feedback, whatever it is you want, but just write something there so that way iTunes knows we are a valid show and that there are people actually listening to it. Share along with all of your Disney friends. And again, next week we will be back in our normal studio. We'll be back with internet access so we can actually check the news before we start recording. Our spring break will be over. Time to go back to school and back to Spanish for you. He's shaking his head. But hopefully everyone has a fantastic week. We will hopefully drive back tomorrow safely and continue on life as we know it. But hopefully everyone has a fantastic week. If you're in the theme parks, by all means, have a great time. It's going to be nice and crowded. Spring break, just deal with it the best you can. May the Force be with you, as well as all of your safe Disney travels. And remember,
light speed to Endor!